Hello. Thank you for joining us today on this second day of the Feast of Tabernacles. My name is Tom Lane with Sabbath Bible Study. Throughout the year, and especially during this feast, we focus on the kingdom of God. We desire to be part of that kingdom, and that should lead us to also focus on what we need to be doing now. Jesus taught that instead of worrying about our physical needs today, that we should seek first the kingdom of God and God's righteousness. We have read that passage from Matthew many times, and it is so easy to overlook that the act of seeking requires action on our part. To first seek the kingdom of God and God's righteousness means we will be doing certain things at this time, and during the sermons, during the Feast of Tabernacles, we will be examining what we need to be doing now. Repentance must happen in our life if we will be part of the kingdom of God. There will be no kingdom of God for us without repentance. Those who do not repent will live through one of the most trying and scary experiences of humanity, the day of the Lord, a day with the imagery of doom, gloom, and utter destruction. With this doom, gloom, and utter destruction comes a request from God that the people repent. And those who do repent, who completely turn to God, will find that God is merciful to them and will remove the punishments from them. Joel 2, verse 1. Blow ye the trumpet in Zion, and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand. A day of darkness and of gloominess, a day of clouds and of thick darkness, as the morning spread upon the mountains, a great people and a strong. There hath not been ever the like, neither shall be any more after it, even to the years of many generations. A fire devoureth before them, and behind them a flame burneth. The land is as the Garden of Eden before them, and behind them a desolate wilderness. Yea, and nothing shall escape them. The appearance of them is as the appearance of horses, and as horsemen, so shall they run. Like the noise of chariots on the tops of mountains shall they leap, like the noise of a flame of fire that devoureth a stubble, as a strong people set in battle array. Before their face the people shall be much pained, all faces shall gather blackness. They shall run like mighty men, they shall climb the wall like men of war, and they shall march every one on his ways, and they shall not break their ranks. Neither shall one thrust another, they shall walk every one in his path, and when they fall upon the sword, they shall not be wounded. They shall run to and fro in the city, they shall run upon the wall, they shall climb up upon the houses, they shall enter in at the windows like a thief. The earth shall quake before them, the heavens shall tremble, the sun and the moon shall be dark, and the stars shall withdraw their shining. And the Lord shall utter his voice before his army, for his camp is very great, for he is strong that executeth his word, for the day of the Lord is great and very terrible. Who can abide it? Therefore also now saith the Lord, turn ye even to me with all your heart, and with fasting, and with weeping, and with mourning, and rend your heart, and not your garments, and turn unto the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repenteth him of the evil. Who knoweth if he will return and repent, and leave a blessing behind him, even a meat offering and a drink offering unto the Lord your God? We focus on the kingdom of God and pray that others will also be called and respond to their calling, as we all seek first the kingdom of God and God's righteousness. Yet Ezekiel shows that some who do righteousness, who seek first the kingdom of God and God's righteousness, will turn away from righteousness and live a life of sin. Others who have lived the life of sin, once called, will commit their life to a life of doing righteousness. Ezekiel 18, verse 19. Yet say ye, why? Doth not the Son bear the iniquity of the Father? When the Son hath done that which is lawful and right, and hath kept all my statutes, and hath done them, he shall surely live. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. The Son shall not bear the iniquity of the Father, neither shall the Father bear the iniquity of the Son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon him, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him. But if the wicked will turn from all his sins that he hath committed, and keep all my statutes, and do that which is lawful and right, he shall surely live. He shall not die. All his transgressions that he hath committed, they shall not be mentioned unto him. In his righteousness that he hath done, he shall live. Have I any pleasure at all that the wicked should die, saith the Lord God, and not that he should return from his ways and live? But when the righteous turneth away from his righteousness, and committeth iniquity, and doeth according to all the abominations that the wicked man doeth, shall he live? All his righteousness that he hath done shall not be mentioned. In his trespass that he hath trespassed, and in his sin that he hath sinned, in them shall he die. Yet ye say, the way of the Lord is not equal. Hear now, O house of Israel, is not my way equal? Are not your ways unequal? When a righteous man turneth away from his righteousness, and committeth iniquity, and dieth in them, for his iniquity that he hath done, shall he die. Again, when the wicked man turneth away from his wickedness that he hath committed, he doeth that which is lawful and right, he shall save his soul alive. Because he considereth and turneth away from all his transgressions that he hath committed, he shall surely live, he shall not die. Yet saith the house of Israel, the way of the Lord is not equal. O house of Israel, are not my ways equal? Are not your ways unequal? Therefore I will judge you, O house of Israel, every one according to his ways, saith the Lord God. Repent and turn yourselves from all your transgressions, so iniquity shall not be your ruin. Cast away from you all your transgressions whereby ye have transgressed, and make you a new heart and a new spirit, for why will you die, O house of Israel? For I have no pleasure in the death of him that dieth, saith the Lord God, wherewith turn yourselves and live ye. The choice to live a life of righteousness or a life of sin is a choice we all must make in our life. And once we choose a life of righteousness, we can never go back to living a life of sin. Jesus taught of the kingdom of God, not only teaching that the kingdom of God was at hand, but that there is a need to repent. Matthew 4, verse 12. Now, when Jesus had heard that John was cast into prison, he departed into Galilee. And leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is upon the sea coast in the borders of Zebulun and Naphtalim, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtalim, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people which sat in darkness saw great light, and to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. To be part of the kingdom of God, repentance is needed. That message of repentance was taught on the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit was first given to the masses. Acts 2, verse 37. Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Without repentance, there is no place for the Holy Spirit within us. And without the Holy Spirit, there is no place for us within the kingdom of God. Having been given the Holy Spirit, we need to live our lives spiritually, even as we live within our physical bodies. We cannot give place to Satan, nor can we grieve the Holy Spirit. There is never a place for us to live our lives in such a way that our actions bring shame to the Holy Spirit. We must always seek first the kingdom of God and God's righteousness, and everything we do must support that quest. Ephesians 4, verse 25. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the things which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Having been called to repentance, seeking first the kingdom of God and God's righteousness, and even keeping the Christian meaning of the biblical holy days, doesn't make us better than other people. It just means we have been called at this time, and the other people are awaiting their calling. We cannot allow ourselves to become like the Pharisees, who saw themselves as without sin, who looked down on others, did not understand that sinners and not the righteous are called to repentance, and overlooked the mercy that God prefers over sacrifice. Matthew 9, verse 9. And as Jesus passed forth from thence, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of custom, and he saith unto him, Follow me. And he arose and followed him. And it came to pass, as Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto his disciples, Why eateth your master with publicans and sinners? But when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, They that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. But go ye and learn what that meaneth, I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Jesus knew sinners called to repentance would be needed for the kingdom of God, so during his earthly ministry, he had no problem interacting with people looked at as sinners. By comparison, the Pharisees would have nothing to do with sinners. While Jesus interacted with sinners and even ate with them, Jesus did that so they could be brought to repentance. In interacting and eating with sinners, Jesus did not become a sinner himself. Luke 15, verse 1. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners, and eateth with them. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness, and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and his neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Having been called where there is an expectation of repentance, we must bear fruit worthy of repentance. We will spiritually pivot from living a life of sin to living a life focused on first seeking the kingdom of God and God's righteousness. Jesus showed that people who claim to be of the faith who do not bear spiritual fruit will be chopped down. Luke 13, verse 1. There were present at that season some that told him of the Galileans, whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answering said unto them, suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans, because they suffered such things. I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Or those 18 upon whom the tower in Siloam fell and slew them, think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. He spake also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon and found none. And he said unto the dresser of his vineyard, behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree and find none. Cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground? And he answering said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dung it. And if it bear fruit, well, and if not, then after that thou shalt cut it down. Repentance is such a central theme to what is needed of mankind to be in the kingdom of God that when Paul spoke to the Athenians at Mars Hill and introduced the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob to them through their understanding of the unknown God, Paul first showed that God has mercy for those who lack knowledge of God, and also showed how now God commands people everywhere to repent. Acts 17, verse 22. Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things ye are too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God. Whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him I declare unto you. God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands. Neither is worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things. He hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitations, that they should seek the Lord, and if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone graven by art and man's device. And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Paul also explained to the Romans that God does not pick favorites, where those who think they are God's favorites get special privileges. He showed that with God, all people are treated equally. In the Old Testament, God's interaction with people was channeled through Israel. With the death of Jesus Christ, God would be now interacting with all people, regardless of who their ancestors are. It is the goodness of God that brings all people to repentance when God calls them. Once we are called, if we want to be part of the kingdom of God, we show our commitment to first seeking the kingdom of God and God's righteousness by living a life of patience, doing what is expected of us by God. Those who choose to live their life and focus on what is unrighteous, annoying, and wrathful will face the consequences of their decision. Romans 2, verse 1. Therefore, thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest. For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself, for thou that judgest doest the same things. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things, and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? But after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasurest up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath, and revelation of his righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds. To them who by patient continuance and well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first, and also of the Gentile. But glory, honor, and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first, and also to the Gentile. For there is no respect of persons with God. Paul had to write letters to the Corinthians and wrote to them twice. During his second letter, he wrote that godly sorrow causes repentance, which leads to eternal salvation. This type of sorrow is different than the sorrow of this world, which can only lead to death. Godly sorrow involves repentance, and worldly sorrow does not. 2 Corinthians 7, verse 8. For though I made you sorry with a letter, I do not repent, though I did repent. For I perceive that the same epistle hath made you sorry, though it were but for a season. Now I rejoice, not that you were made sorry, but that ye sorrow to repentance. For you were made sorry after a godly manner, that ye might receive damage by us in nothing. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repentant of, but the sorrow of this world worketh death. For behold, the selfsame thing that ye sorrowed after a godly sort, what carefulness it wrought in you, yea, what clearing of yourselves, yea, what indignation, yea, what fear, yea, what vehement desire, yea, what zeal, yea, what revenge, in all things ye have approved yourselves to be clear in this matter. Wherefore, though I wrote unto you, I did it not for his cause that ye had done the wrong, nor for his cause that suffered wrong, but that our care for you in the sight of God might appear unto you. In writing to Timothy, Paul explained the need to flee youthful lust and to follow righteousness, faith, charity, and peace, and showing that he should teach those who oppose themselves, who live a sinful life, should God grant them repentance. 2 Timothy 2, verse 22. Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves. If God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. We have been granted repentance and cannot return to a life of sin. We cannot allow there to be a duality in our mind where we have surrendered to sin while seeking first the kingdom of God and God's righteousness. Having been called and given repentance, we must humble ourselves, living a life that is focused on what is spiritual. James 4, verse 1. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lusts that war in your members? Ye lust, ye have not. Ye kill and desire to have, and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever, therefore, will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Do you think that the Scripture saith in vain, the Spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord. He shall lift you up. Seeking first the kingdom of God and God's righteousness and living a life of repentance means we cannot walk in the darkness. We can only walk in the light. We pursue and aspire to be what is righteous, fully understanding that as people, we can come up short in sin. What we cannot do is give up on righteousness. We seek forgiveness of our sins. 1 John 1, verse 6. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. As people of faith, we might think repentance is something that we only did a long time ago when we first came into the faith. While we did repent then, repentance can be needed throughout our life. We repent whenever the need arises. We can look to the letters to the churches in Revelation to see this. Many, but not all, of the churches were told of a need to repent. For instance, the church at Ephesus was warned to repent, or its candlestick would be removed. Revelation 2, verse 1. Under the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know your works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. Hast borne and hast patient, and for my name's sake hast labored, and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. The church at Pergamos was warned to repent because they allowed false teachings to influence their beliefs. If they didn't repent, Jesus threatened to fight those false teachings. Revelation 2, verse 12. And to the angel of the church in Pergamos write, these things saith he which hath the sharp sword with two edges. I know thy works, and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is. And thou holdest fast my name, and hast not denied my faith, even in those days where Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you where Satan dwelleth. But I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit fornication. So hast thou them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing I hate. Repent, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. The church of Thyatira was warned because they gave space to a spiritual Jezebel, allowing church members to be spiritually misled. This spiritual Jezebel refuses to repent and threatens to drag some of the church along with her. This spiritual Jezebel and the church members who follow will experience the Great Tribulation unless they repent. Revelation 2, verse 18. And unto the angel of the church in Thyatira write, these things saith the Son of God, who hath his eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass. I know thy works and charity and service and faith, and thy patience and thy works, and that the last to be more than the first. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication, and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. And I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repenteth not. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. The church at Sardis was told that their works were not found to be perfect before God, and given a need to repent. Revelation 3, verse 1. And unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know thy works, that thou hast a name that thou livest and art dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain, that are ready to die. For I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember, therefore, how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. And therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and shall not know what hour I will come upon thee. The church of the Laodiceans was told that they were spiritually blind to the point they did not comprehend how bad off they were spiritually, and told to repent. Revelation 3, verse 14. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous therefore, and repent. God commands people everywhere to repent. And sometimes for those of us of the faith, it seems like we find ourselves in a holding pattern. Each day we seek the kingdom of God and God's righteousness, and each day we continue to live the life we have on earth. Sometimes things seem to stay the same for very long periods of time. When we experience this, we can never give up on the kingdom of God and God's righteousness, even though the Bible says some will. In the last days, there will be scoffers who will mock the return of Jesus, and these are the times in which we live. Those who mock lack repentance, and we cannot be led astray by them for their lack of repentance if we hope to be in the kingdom of God. We know that what scoffers mock is God's patience to bring all people to repentance so that many, many more besides us can be saved. And we know God will be successful in this. We desperately hope that all who mock God will be brought to salvation and their place in the kingdom of God. What we cannot do is be distracted, be led astray, be caught up in things of this world, even important things of this world, as we seek the kingdom of God and God's righteousness. We cannot allow those who refuse to repent to come between us and our place in the kingdom of God. 2 Peter 3, verse 1. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that was then being overflowed with water perished. But the heavens and the earth which are now by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as a thousand years, and a thousand years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heaven shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. And account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware, lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory, both now and forever. Amen. We are people of God. We seek first the kingdom of God and God's righteousness, and that is one of the reasons why we are observing the Feast of Tabernacles. We know repentance in our life was needed to get us to the point where we are today. And we also know there may still be a need for yet future repentance in our life. We never give up on seeking the kingdom of God and God's righteousness. We never allow those who mock God to cause us to change our mind on what God has done in our lives and what God will do for us in the future. We live in a world that has mostly forgotten about God, except when it is convenient. There is nothing about what we do spiritually that is of convenience. Having been given repentance, we have made a choice to live according to the calling we have been given, a calling that has made us aware of the kingdom of God and God's righteousness. That calling which led to our repentance stands opposed to what this world knows, and we find ourselves swimming upstream against a world that remains unrepentant. We know that in the end, the repentance we have been given will lead to our place in the kingdom of God, and even though we swim upstream against a world that is unrepentant, we so hope and pray that God will lead them to repentance so that they too will one day be part of the kingdom of God. Thank you for joining us today. God willing, we'll get together tomorrow on the weekly Sabbath during the Feast of Tabernacles. Until then, thank you for joining us today.